Father, we thank you this morning that you ever bring us here into your presence for change. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that you know every heart, every motive. Lord, none of us can hide from you. We are totally and utterly exposed before you. And Lord, when we know that, that is a sign of the fear of God. It is a sign that a saint means business with you. And that, Lord, we allow the great master potter to mold and work with this clay, that it may be filled with your spirit. But Lord, we know that this is achievement done through faith, through the word, through hearing the word of God, through knees that are bowed in your presence, and a heart that is open to be changed by you. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this. We thank you that you're ever merciful, long-suffering, that, Lord, you don't give up on us. Father, we praise you, Lord, for this, and we want to glorify your name now through this word, because we believe that the word goes forth with signs following of healing, deliverance, and salvation. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. This morning, maybe over the next few weeks, I don't know, but a very simple title that God's giving me, nothing new to the body: our faith must go deeper. Our faith must go deeper. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you said Amen, you're on the right course. It may seem as though God is never satisfied. It may seem as though he wants more and more to the point that you are breaking, to the point that you feel you can't go on anymore, to the point where it seems as though he's got it in for you. He's turned his back on you. But you know, they are all the means that God works by that our faith will go deeper. You are not going through anything new that any real saint that means business with God that has not gone through in the past. And they're all recorded in the scriptures. They're all there where they have gone through experiences where they cannot go on. It just feels that God isn't answering me. It feels that what I have stood for and believed for seems to go contrary. But they're all the very means in which our faith must go deeper. Now, why can God do that? Why can it seem as though God, in your circumstances, goes completely contrary? I'll tell you why. Because the faith that you have is not all yours anyway. It is a gift. You were given the ability to believe. And the ability to believe means that in salvation God put that seed of faith within you. And the scriptures clearly tell us, as you know, that he is both the author and the finisher of our faith. And that is why our faith in this body must go deeper. The faith that you had this morning must mature by the end of the day. The faith that you had yesterday or for last week is inadequate for today. And that is the nature of faith. For faith, as we're told, is a fruit, and it matures, and it grows, and like all fruit, the farmer must attend to it, nurture it, look after it. One of the reasons that a farmer or gardener looks after whatever it's looking after, let's say roses. I like growing roses. One of the reasons being is because they grow pretty well where we are. But I've learned over the years with roses that you've got to be hard on them. You haven't got to spare them. And when it comes to that pruning, a lot of them, it's like a stub that's left. And you can't think that anything would grow out of that. But it does. But there's different types of prunings. You have to look at a floribunda. Or you have to look at a bush rose. Or you have to look at a standard. Or whatever rose it would be, because they have different shapes. But they all need attending to. Climbers even need attending to. Now, why do we cut back? Well, the first thing is because the growth that is made is only for that season. It's temporary. And it's growing old. And it becomes stale, brittle. And it won't produce any roses for the future year. So it has to be cut away. Then you find that there are branches on the rose where they finally die. And they become hard, dead wood. And so you have to cut that away. Why do you have to cut dead wood away? Because it breeds disease. And like anything that dies, even a body, if not disposed of, will cause disease. And so that's why we then battle these problems with roses like black fly, green fly, red spider, and all those things which form in the ground over the winter and come up. And so the farmer's got to nurture. He's got to dig down around that soil and disturb it. And then comes the spring, he then has to feed. And then he puts plenty of that muck upon them. And they start to draw the nutrients from that muck, that food. And so they begin to grow. And so God does exactly the same with us. And because our faith must go deeper. Now any gardener, if he or she likes gardening, wants to get the very best out of that shrub or that rose tree that they have purchased. They want that rose tree to grow well, big, full of flowers in the summer, stunning. And that's very natural. That's part of the motivation of gardening. That's the joy of gardening. And this year, gardening's been difficult because it's had a great problem, a drought. And not only have we had a drought, but we have had horrendous temperatures, record-breaking temperatures. And I was talking to a gardener recently, and he said, if you look at a lot of our plants now, he said they've gone into shock mode. They've been actually shocked by the tremendous heat. And so if you look at a lot of things, they're producing buds, but not always are those buds coming out. It's been affected. But will it die? That's the question. No. If you water it, shouldn't die. Now things that will die this year, because as a result, they've not been watered. But God waters us, doesn't he? You know what that watering is? It is the word of God. It is our feeding that God feeds us. And that sometimes the weather conditions can get very hot or very dry. He is ever faithful to keep us watered, to keep us surviving. And what keeps us surviving? It is our faith, our belief in God's faithfulness, his promises, his word. That is what it is. And God is very aware that because things haven't gone as we thought, or your trial maybe worked out a little differently than you thought, so he has seen that compromise. He's seen where we're looking more to the arm of the flesh, to man, for those answers, than to him. I had the pleasure of fellowshipping with a brother on Wednesday while I was away. A man was really trusting God and his promises. And a man that was raised up from his bed, paralyzed. Back, nerves were severed by glass that fell and broke on his back. Severed the nerves and the spine and everything. He will never walk. He will be paralyzed. That's what man said. But he held on and believed God's words. Not only does he walk, but he now gardens, he lifts, he does everything contrary to what man says, and worships the Lord and praises him. And many other testimonies, many other. Cut his hand not so long ago severely, wearing gloves, is working, with blood pouring out. He said, I'm not even taking the blood off, by his stripes I'm healed. Carried on working, the blood was pouring out, deep cut. By the end of it, I needn't tell you. Yes, the mark was there, healed. That is faith. That is defying what the natural tells us. Most of us, we've lost that in this body. There's fear. What if? And so forth. We can't tell you how to act your faith. We can only ever point you back to the Word of God, that God is faithful. That all the promises of God are yes and amen. And we have always allowed that space in this body because we know that faith is a growth. We're all at different levels, moving toward that goal. But whatever your need, whether it's physical, whether it is financial, whether it is a battle in the family, your marriage, whatever it would be, God has allowed for that simple reason that he's showing you the opportunity if you can go deeper. You have a choice. Right in the midst of disaster, when everything looks as though it's completely gone the opposite, everything is caving in, you have that opportunity to settle it, to go deeper with God. And that is why God is removing that unbelief that hinders our faith. And that unbelief takes many, many shapes and forms. Unbelief that works with fear. Unbelief that works with insecurity. Unbelief that works with confusion in the Word of God. I could go on and on and on. And they're the things that God's delivering us, going deep to remove. Why? That our faith goes deeper. I want us to turn, if you will, to Luke 18. And here is a sober message that Jesus gives of the last days. Luke 18. You all know this well. You've probably got it underlined. Luke 18 and verse 8. We'll look at that first. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. This is the bit. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he really find people who are faithful to their calling, to the word, to prayer, to fellowship? Will he really find that? He raises a question. Now, if the Son of God raises that question, he raises it for a very good reason. Now, it's in the context, because we have to take the word in the context, particularly if it's parables, in which he brings this up. And I just want to take this back to verse 1. Then he spoke a parable for them, that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. So this is in the context of our praying, believing. Now, all of us, I hope, in this church, are in prayer, believing, holding on for something or someone or things. Are we not? Yes? Yes? Amen. Amen. Right. So we're all identifying with this. He then goes on saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in the city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, But afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Love it. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Who cry out day and night. Now, does he mean that you're literally in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, throwing yourself down on the floor, Lord, hear me, and bursting into tears? When are you going to answer me? No, it's not meaning that, because we have to take the whole context of God's word. It means that it is a cry that will not stop till I have received. It is like a baby that's hungry, and that child will not stop crying till the mother feeds it. And you mothers have had children, or with children, you know exactly what I'm on about. You know? That child, you know that cry when it's hungry, and as it's a clear sign, it needs to be fed. I need it. It's mine. That milk is mine, because that is what will keep me living. That is the fight that is within man. The moment that child is born, that fight to survive and live is already there. I was talking to a surgeon last week who's delivered many babies. And it was interesting listening to him, because he said the greatest miracle, this is a surgeon, highly trained that was, brain surgeon, he said, still the greatest miracle, he said, for me, was the birth of a child. And he said, every time when I delivered babies, he said, I always had that lump in my throat. Because he said, the moment they come out the womb, they look physically dead. They show all signs of being dead, even their colour. And he said, the moment they're born, he explained that 10 things take place almost rapidly within that little body that starts to live. And I can't name all of them, but he said the severing of the umbilical cord, which is the blood supply, the food supply, immediately that child now has to survive. The digestive system, everything comes into operation immediately. Then the lungs, air, immediately come into operation to start breathing on its own and so forth. And then the brain starts. The brain actually needs, it stimulates the brain actually through a natural birth, when that brain is actually slightly squeezed when it comes through. That actually helps the brain. He admitted that cesarean isn't the best delivery. The natural way is. So look what God has put there, and he explained 10 other things as well, and I was absolutely intrigued. And it was interesting that opposite, there was another Christian, she goes to another church down in Kent, she winked at me, and we looked at one another, and we thought, praise the Lord. You know, who listens to this? Only God can do that. Why? Because the moment that child leaves that womb, the fight to survive and live is there. Immediately comes into operation. And that is what God has put into you and me. When he put that faith in your heart, if it's truly there and it's being nurtured, trusting God, walking with him in obedience and everything, there is a fight with that faith to go deeper. It must. Because it's your survival. You're going to make it in by faith. No other way. You see. And that's why people can misinterpret this. Sometimes we've been called that we're fanatical, we're overboard, we're cultish and everything. Not at all. It's because faith fights to survive, to live, and to go deeper. And that's what God does within us. And he's going to stir us up to go on and to believe for more and more. Amen? And so Jesus says right here, when I return, and he's speaking of the end times, will I find a faith? Will I find saints believing? Have they gone deeper? That's the question. So it's right in the context of being persistent. This widow was not going to be denied. Exactly the same story of the Syrophoenician woman. I often think, you know, when Jesus gave this parable, also realizing that was actually going to happen as well. She was not going to take no. You know the story well. She was persistent. This widow is persistent. Why? Because faith must go deeper in order for God to answer. It's got to grow. It's got to move. It's got to mature. It can never stay at one place, you see. And that's why God very often delays the manifestation. And that's why we have Mark 11, 24. Wherefore, whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You actually have received. That's actually how it reads. It's the present tense. You have received. But we know that the manifestation can take a time. And you shall receive. It is yours. You have it. You shall receive. It is. You have it now by faith in Jesus' name. And how do you know that? You know that by reading the promises of God's word. You read what Christ has provided for us in the atonement in this life. Not for when you get in eternity. It's easy to believe for eternity. It's also starting to believe now. Holding on. Holding on to that loved one that's going from bad to worse. Rebellion. Drug addict. Drunk. Whatever it is. Holding in there. Doesn't matter what it looks like, Lord. She is yours in Jesus' name. Doesn't know it yet, but she is. And that's how we walk. But they're not just words. You're not just quoting that now because you've heard the teachers just say that. That comes from a heart that believes. Faith knows how to confess. That's why I keep saying to you, and I will say it again, you must listen to your confession each day. You must listen to what comes out of your mouth. And that is why Satan gets most. Because those that are not bowing that knee before God, those that deceive themselves to think they're in faith, they can't even hear what comes out of their mouth. And that's why they make a mess of it. And that's why it doesn't glorify the Lord. And that's then why people turn and say, see, I told you it was a cult. Doesn't glorify God. I've said to the Lord, Lord, I want to hear what comes out of my mouth. Whatever it takes to do, wherever I'm not hearing, please in your mercy remove it so that I can hear what comes out of my mouth, because that tells me where I am for the day. Examine yourself, 2 Corinthians says, to see whether you are in the faith. Hear it. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know what is there. I keep saying, if resentment, unforgiveness is there, it will come out. You will hear it. It is there. So God shows us where these hindrances are lying. And see, this is why very often it is delays. Delays cause faith to go deeper. It's one of the hardest things for human beings. We are terrible at waiting, particularly this generation. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 8 to 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 8 and 9. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, we tend always, very often, to quote the first part of this. Ah, God is not He won't forget you. One day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day with the Lord. The Lord's not slack concerning. He's heard you. Amen. Amen. But it does go on, doesn't it? Which I've just read. And I want to read the latter part again. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What, you say? Well, I believe the Lord. You know, I may be a bit impatient, but, you know, I'm believing the Lord, and I have once or twice gone out before the Lord and shipwrecked and anything. No, he says delays are that you don't perish. That's what he's saying. That if it were possible, even the elect can perish, Peter said. That is the reason, because our faith must go deeper in order that you don't perish. That you make it into the kingdom of God. So you see, our faith, which is a gift, is ultimately that we don't perish, but that we glorify the Lord, and that we make it into the kingdom of God. Not only do we make it into the kingdom of God, but we make it in having experienced, even in this life, God's faithfulness of healing, deliverance, salvation. And that is why he is working within each one of us to remove these hindrances to our faith. And that is why it is deliverance. You know, one thing that we don't have to run to any proof text, when we speak of deliverance, that deep deliverance that God is doing and has been doing in this church over the years, we all have and are experiencing it. And we have had that deliverance many times, just sitting in our seat, and suddenly that has lifted. It is gone. I can't tell you the times as a pastor over the years that people have come up to me, you come up to me. You know, I just want to share with you, I had the deliverance. Or very often it's just a change of mind, change of attitude, or something just manifested in my seat, and I know it's left me. I cannot tell you the times that that has happened. So we have a testimony in this church of deliverance. And rightly so, because they are the signs to me that God is removing hindrances to our faith, because the faith, what God has given, the next phase to this faith indeed is then going to start to produce the greater works, where we will start to see the manifestations and the miracles. But everything is done in priority. Everything is done in an order in God's economy. And that is why I take comfort, because he's working first deep in the heart. And that is the painful issue. That is the painful issue. Simply because he has to remove it. And you one day, you won't see it now, but one day when you're in a situation or you find there's somebody right in front of you asking you to pray for them the prayer of faith, you are going to thank God for these words. That God prepared your heart. That he removed all those fears, those obstacles, all those things, so that your mind and heart and spirit was totally open, able to touch God, in order that through you that person can be touched. Because that's all you are. You are simply a vessel that God touches you in order that you touch somebody else for them to be raised, healed, delivered, or whatever. It's just an open channel. That is how it works. It's simple as that. Even mediums, spiritists know all that. That they have to be a channel for the power to come through them to touch that person. Well, how much more us who have the Holy Spirit? Can God do this? Is he able? After all these years, does it seem I haven't really progressed much? Well, that's why we don't look by the natural, but we walk and live and see by faith. You see in a different realm. We talk in a different realm. Our belief is in a completely different realm. We dare not look at ourselves. We dare not look at the body. We dare not look at situations. A man or woman by faith is going to believe that God is well able, right in the midst of disaster, because that's often where it is. For faith to work, it has to work right in the midst of disaster. And we hate that. Let's face it, we hate it. And to say, praise God, thank you, Jesus, that is a sacrifice. Because we're so emotional. We're so bound by feelings. What we hear, what we see, what we smell, what we taste, you see. Can God, is he big enough to overcome all that in us and through us? My faith says yes. I have to believe that, because if he isn't, I have no future. What is the point in going on? Amen. What is the point? Let's look at Hebrews 10, 37. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So the ultimate of our faith, that it must go deeper, is, as I've always said to you, that you endure, you persist to the end. Because it is only those that persist to the end will know whether by his stripes they're healed or not. I always remember Brother Freeman saying something that shook me rigid. He said, some that can go back or decide to not go on or whatever it is, they could have been manifested after 5 minutes after saying that or making that decision. That's the reality of this walk. And that's not to blackmail you. That's not to put an ungodly pressure on you. It's not to squeeze you in a corner, because I know all about that. I felt like that. I felt at times, you know, this teaching, you know, the enemy is so subtle, it makes you feel as though you're squeezed in a corner. It's like an emotional blackmail. But you see, God doesn't work that way. And then you soothe it and you think, no, but it's been a pleasure and joy walking with the Lord. I've known his love so many times. But that's what the enemy wants you to think, you see. No. If God says you to persist to the end, he's got a very, very good reason for that. And one of the reasons is, not only will you make it into the kingdom of God, but that all you believe for will be fulfilled for the glory of his name. You see, again, we need to realize, we need to have a revelation that God is more concerned about his glory than even you are. He's more concerned about his name, his reputation, what he has promised, than even you or I. So one can hold on to that. And if God by his Spirit now is pouring his Spirit out in these last days, which is very clear, which is very evident, then he's doing that for the glory of his name. And we're told, aren't we, in Scripture, that God is jealous for his name. Jealous for his glory. He watches over it. His glory is his holiness. That's really what it's about. So he's not going to have his holiness, his name, defamed, brought in the mud, corrupted by religion, by man's unbelief. No way. So again, there is another reason why our faith must go deeper. Because it's about the holiness of God. It's about the glory of God. So that is another reason why our faith must go deeper. I've already read to you that we walk by faith. We are justified by faith. Turn with me, if you will, now to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. One of the great books, Romans, and we're having it taught to us at the moment. But I want us just to hone in on verses 16 and 17 of Romans chapter 1. Because here, Paul speaks about those who are justified, in other words, those who are truly born again, are going to live by faith, total faith. That is a sign that they are justified. That is a sign they are Christian because they walk by faith. That is one of the clear signs. Now you can't get it much simpler than that. And that's why the devil has tried to confuse the house of God with regard to faith. And listen what he says here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why does he open up with that? I'm not ashamed of this teaching. I'm not ashamed about what I'm about to say. And neither am I, because it's the word of God. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It's on that basis. This morning, you have a choice whether to believe or not. That is your choice. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, or his faithfulness. In other words, Paul makes it clear that faith is the basis for salvation. And not only is it the basis, but it is the goal. It is the start and it is the finish. And in between those, there is the walk of faith. And we're to live by faith in order to be saved. Faith, if you like, delivers us from the power of sin and unbelief to live a righteous life. How are you going to live a righteous life? How are you going to come and live to a place where you no longer become subject to sin, falling all the time, is that you live by faith, from faith to faith. Faith keeps us righteous in the presence of God through the shed blood of the Lamb, that the Holy Spirit can deal with you, can change you from glory into glory. No other way. It's not by your works. It's not by your emotions. It is by simply choosing to believe. And no greater challenge does God give us than when we come together under this anointed word, not only to be washed down, but to choose to believe so that it may continue to work in our lives. Amen. What a privilege. What a privilege. And that's why it says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. And those who are not pleasing God, who are in unbelief, are moving, if not rapidly, into an unsafe state. And I'm going to say this, and I know this isn't going to be popular, but I say this because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. That we're going to have to face the fact, and when we get on our knees and start praying, we're going to see some change, that there are more unsaved in our churches than we realize. And the sooner the church starts to get to its senses, then we'll start to see changes in this land. We're pretending. We're believing. It's compromise. I don't hear anybody who comes out with statements like that. Very few. And it can speak to even this assembly as well. So we're not exempt. But in my experience, as I go on in this, I am finding at times, Lord, who are saved, who really are walking by faith, or got that desire to walk by faith. I'm not talking about where they are, or maybe they've made a hash up at their faith. The point is, they're saying, it's what I want. That's what I want to hear. Nobody condemns anybody in here if you've missed it. What we do come against is when you try to justify it, you try to water it down, you try to excuse. That is the seriousness of it. I've missed it. I'm standing here today by faith, trusting God. Do you know what in? You're going to be surprised at this. My eyes. I've stood behind here sometimes and I'm seeing double lines. Talk about double vision. Because I want to glorify God. Yes, when the light's really bad, it's a light thing. Now I'm aware I'm getting older. I'm aware the Bible says your eyes get dim. Moses' eyes were dim. But I'm also aware that it says he renews our youth as eagles. Joshua claimed that mountain and he got it at 80. And we're told he's still got that strength for war. Now that's the same God. Now why can't God do that for me? For you? Is he so different? Has he changed? Now everybody at the level of their faith. I value your prayers that you'll stand with me in this. Because in the natural, I need glasses. I need them this morning. But you know something, as I'm preaching, I can look at this and it's virtually manifested. When I get behind this pulpit and I start, suddenly it clears. So I know God's doing something with me. I know this is a spiritual battle I'm in. And another day, I can sit at home, can't see a thing. And I have to listen to my confession. Yes, I have put glasses on. You can buy these I was magnifying glasses. And when the light is really bad, your eyes have to work overtime because it's about a light thing. I'm aware I'm growing older. I'm not trying to kid you. And you know that. Every time you come and talk to me, you probably see another wrinkle trying to form. But I'm equally aware God is renewing my youth as eagles. And I'm still able to do things. And I'm doing things now that I wasn't doing when I was 25. And I praise him for it. Because it's what I want. But I've made a hash. I've fallen. And I'm going to call it for what it is. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to excuse. I'm the problem. Not God. Not his promises. But I know he loves me enough and he loves you enough to say, okay, fallen off your horse. If you fall off your horse, get back on it. And that's what you do. Anyone who wants to go horse riding, one of the first things they start to learn you may have a fall, but get straight back on it. Do you know why? Because of fear. Fear. That's the biggest killer. It's fear. And he does with us. He does. Because he loves us and he wants us to succeed. And I know people are going through trials here. I know there are delays with the healings, deliverances, various things. Some of you are believing to get free in the finances and everything. And that's why we're to stand with one another, believe the best for one another. Hold on. When one suffers, we all suffer. That's what this is all about. You know, my heart bears out sometimes when I see those physical trials or what some of you go through. I want to just suffer a little bit what you're going through. I want to experience that from God because then I know my prayers are going to be answered. I don't want to just get on my knees and be religious for you and just pray a quick prayer. I want to identify because I know then that's where real faith is answered. And that's what God wants out of us when we start praying for one another. And we need to start praying more in these meetings. We need to start saying, brother, sisters, would you stand with me? Would you stand with me in the prayer of agreement? What a joy, what a pleasure. We can start praying with one another, start to stand with one another. But somebody's going through it or hurting. Are we too spiritual? Are we too proud? I've just asked for prayer. Stand with me through my eyes. You mustn't be. We're all in this together. Why? Because our faith must go deeper. If we're to stand in these last days, we've got devastating, destructive forces that are coming in. And the church is complacent, blind. No, God is preparing us. He's preparing us. I was witnessing on Wednesday down where I was up in Suffolk on the seashore. There was a chap there. Started to bring up the end times and everything. And the moment I got to Israel and the fig tree, something really manifested in him. A real anger. A hate. They shouldn't be there. We're at fault. We put them back there. We should never have done it. Belongs to the Palestinians. I said, it doesn't, my friend. I said, you study the scriptures. The Abrahamic covenant makes it very clear whom that land belongs to. And not only that, but a bit more as well. And I said, isn't it interesting? I said, why is it the Arabs want that little bit of land when they've got hundreds and hundreds of miles, if not thousands of miles of land that they live on? Why is it they want that little bit of land? Why are they so selfish? Couldn't answer me. And he went off in a huff. But I said, Lord, have mercy over him. He's probably nearer to the kingdom of God than we realise. But sometimes getting all upset and in a huff is a good sign. I wasn't going to be perturbed by it. I often think, no, at least he's thinking. There's something going on. But I tell you, when you bring up Israel, you see an anger come up. Shall I tell you why? Because it's on the Father's heart that that land must be restored. Hallelujah. No, as Paul clearly shows in Romans here, we're not to be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God to the salvation for everyone who believes. And that is why, whether in your witness, or whether in the preaching of the word, or the evangelists that go out, they must be hot on faith and live totally by faith, or that desire to live totally by faith, and that God is working with them. Because unless it is that, we really don't have a message to preach. It is a message of compromise. And I think the Holy Spirit is sick of it. Sick of it. And there's a remnant who are sick of it. I'm hearing, I only heard again last week, Christians coming away. Again, confirmation. Coming away. Coming out damaged. What by? Charismania. That's what's doing it. Because they want the power of the Spirit. They want the Holy Spirit, but they don't want to walk by faith. And that is the problem. They want to still trust in the arm of the flesh. And that is what causes the damage, the confusion, the compromise. It's Laodicean. But the remnants, their eyes are being opened. Again, confirmed. Confirms to me that vision God gave me years back of those doves with a broken wing. God's setting the scene, friends. And you don't have to go searching for it. He'll bring it to you. He'll bring it to you. You'll hear. It'll come up. It'll be there. You know he's setting that scene. Why? Because our faith must go deeper. Amen. God's challenged us this morning. But it's not impossible, because he loves us. He wouldn't give it to us otherwise. And I believe that. I believe that. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you that you do love us with an everlasting love. You've revealed over and over again how merciful, long-suffering, gentle, patient that you are with us. And that you don't give up on us, Father. We've given up quite a few times. But something within us has said, Lord, I take that back. I don't mean it. I don't want that. I want to go on. I want to believe. I want to trust. I want to endure to the end. Why? Because you've put that gift within us that ever keeps us in the presence of God. And that's why we're able to hold on and believe through every impossible situation, for the just live by faith and are kept by the power of God, the power of your word, we are kept for. And so, Father, I pray you'll be with us through this week. Bless us, preserve us, and keep us till we assemble again. For this we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.